so I took this page and I'm now grabbing the address. Okay, so I'm making a copy of the address. And I went over to the validator. Did I close it? Apparently I did. And since I want to paste in the address, I'm clicking on the validate. And it now asks for the address, and I put the address in. I swore I copied that, but maybe I didn't. Control copy. Okay, and it is upset with me because I don't have the language. Consider adding a language attribute to the start tag. So it is telling me I need to add that language equals EN to the start tag in order for this to validate. So that means all of those ones that I have up at the top are not going to validate anymore because I don't have the language equals EN. It's interesting the change on this. This happened only a year or so ago. And at first it was just a warning, a suggestion, but just a warning. And now it looks, well, no, it's still a warning. So that's, but again, you should fix it. But eventually it may stop being a warning and become a error. Okay, because I've seen other things do that. Okay, we were at web order list old style. Okay, and has lots of validation problems. Okay, so what they used to do is say type equals A, for example. And when I wrote type equals A, that meant that I wanted capital letters as the symbol. Okay. Now that we're into using more CSS, this is not the way to do it. But I am going to point out lots of times the way that it was done in the past, just so you will... No, because lots of times your first job when you go get a job, if you go on web development, your first job frequently is to fix a page rather than write stuff for yourself. And depending on the age of the page, you may say this. And what you would do is go change it to CSS. And as I said, we'll get into the CSS when we get into it. Okay. Notice that they put in red, in Firefox at least, errors that I made. And for example, on this one, I left out the closing slash there, so it's given me all of this in red. On this H3, I don't know, that may be left over from a problem from that H3. So I've got that. And on this paragraph, it closed the paragraph, and so it gave me the error on that. So when you look at the code, if you see something red, they are indicating that they're not happy with something. I didn't close body down below. Or I did. Actually, I did close it. That is probably yelling because there were other problems. But those things will tell you that there is something going wrong. And so you want to be sure to look at those things that are done in red. Okay, now I came down and the address below, this is how you do an outline the old way, is I said type I, which is giving me the Roman numerals 1, 2, 3. Then I said the indenting I want to be type A. Notice the old way didn't bother to not have the LI there. The old way had the LI there. And so I'm putting in the A, and then I indented under that with type equals 1, So it moved in and embedded under that. Okay, so this let me choose different things to put out as the symbols. And if this was a unordered list, I could make choices as well. Okay. So, we will look at how to do that in CSS maybe next week, if not, definitely the following week. Depends on where we end up. The class itself, we probably will spend more time on JavaScript because JavaScript is the hard thing to do. The HTML and the CSS are fairly straightforward if you're doing the basics. Once you get past the basics in HTML, then you have to check and make sure of what browsers support certain things, because there are some things that are lovely to do, but browsers, all the browsers don't support it. Okay. Then another kind of list you can have is a definition list. And the definition list comes out like this. Okay? So I have a word, its definition, a word, its definition, and that sort of thing. And that's called a definition list. So if I go and look at the view source on this, do a left definition list. I have DL, the definition list. And then DT is the thing I want to define, and DD is the definition. And notice that the DD gets indented under the word that I want to define. So the word I want to define is out against the margin, and then the DD gets moved in to give the definition and then get it away. EM can be used to make something stand out. So I wrote, I want, and then I put in EM, and I said these words to stand out, close EM, and they really kind of only do an italic. Okay, there was a time when it did a little more both of italics and bold, but now it appears to be just italics.
Okay. Would you be able to use CSS to further
yes.
change the EM?
Yes. And you could also put a B in there. So I could have the EM in there and put a B tag in, because the B tag goes for bold. So I could throw in a B. So that's a third way of making a list. We have an ordered list, an unordered list, and a definition list. Okay. Then the next one is a block quote. And a block quote is one of the ones that irritates me most. Notice I've got here a header without a block quote. And then I put block quote header 1.
Sorry.
Then I put in block quote header 1. And I said, okay, this has been taken and turned it into a header. And I have turned it into a block quote, and a block quote indents. So I've now got a header that I have indented, okay? And then below it, I've got a paragraph that I indented. What a block quote is used for mainly is, you know how when you write a paper and you basically to have a paragraph that you took from another text and you want to include it, and you usually push it in on either side and make it single spacing, that's a block quote. And this is how you get to do a block quote in HTML. Okay. The part I find that it drives me crazy is I really think, if I were writing it, that I should be able to reverse these, and I can't. Okay? The block quote has to be the outer one. Okay? And notice it got upset with me and turned the P to red because I've done that. But it doesn't let me interchange them. Okay, so I have to first establish it as a header one and then establish that I want the format to be a block quote. And I fight that constantly by putting the header one first and then the block quote and then having to go back and change it. And let's, I'm actually interested in how this will play out. But the sub and the sup, okay, 25 squared is 625. The sub drops it down. So it's 101 and it's dropped down because it is the binary and it is telling me that I am doing binary. Let me get this so you can see them both. Okay, so 25 with the 2 upper, okay, gives me 625 and it comes out like that, 25 squared. Below it's 101 base 2, which tells me the base. Tells me that 101 in binary is a 5. Okay, so I'm telling it that it's a 5. Then I had a paragraph that I said big and a paragraph that I said small, and those went through. I'm questioning a lot, or I'm pretty sure, that we will have a problem when we validate this one. So if you take it and take the address, whoops, what did I just do? Hit the wrong thing is what I just did. And I don't think I left the validator open. At home, I keep the validator such that I can click on it easily. Okay, so it doesn't like some of these things. The big element is obsolete. Interesting, the small isn't. But the big element is obsolete. I would think small would also be obsolete. And it wanted me to put the language in there. The sub and the sup are all right. Okay? But I thought it was going to be telling me both big and small issues. And I don't quite understand why it didn't. Okay. Then the next one is pre. And this is one of my favorites for a lot of the things that I want to do. What pre does is say, I am going to use the things the way they were laid out. Okay? So if I wanted to write this from scratch and I didn't have pre, I'd be putting in a BR after this. I'd be putting some NBSPs in there to move it in.
then I'd be putting a BR, then I'd be putting a BR, so then be a, it would be very complicated, okay? But if I say pre says the way it was predefined. I'm just going to copy it over the way you predefined it. And so it keeps my spacing, it keeps my indentation, it keeps everything and gives it to me the way I predefined it. Okay, and I think that's a very valuable thing. Sometimes the less than and greater than can cause problems, so you can put them in as a less than sign there. But in this particular case, it was fine because the greater than looked all right. So I tried it once with this and once with this. Okay. I have seen in previous browsers a problem with that using the less than and greater than. So that's why I showed you the alternate workaround is the less than. Okay. But I think they've pretty much got today's browsers, so they're all okay, although Explorer can never be counted wrong. Well, it's not today's either. Explorer has different browsers resolve different things. And Explorer has its own world. I think they thought they were going to win with doing it that way, and that's not how it worked out for them. Okay, but it has its own world.
What's Explorer?
Right, exactly. Now it's pretty much gone. Although they still go in and do code when you look at code examples. They'll tell you places where Explorer will mess it up. Okay, so that's pre. And then the last one that I looked at is div. And div can be used instead of a paragraph. And you can also do it this way, where I set up a div, and then I ended the div. Set up another div, ended the div. And then I set up a div that is going to contain one, two paragraphs, and just a line that I didn't put in a paragraph or a division. And then I closed the div. So this is all one container, but inside the one container, I have set up two paragraphs, and I have set up a blank line. Okay? So again, if I look at this, okay, you can see the division didn't cause a break, because the second division says, as we saw above, and there was no line in between that. That went along just fine. And then the paragraphs came in. There's another division here, but each of these divisions contains a paragraph. And so the paragraph gets me the blank lines. Okay. So that's a brief introduction to HTML. And we're going to go back and look at a lot of other things about HTML, but I wanted to throw in a little bit of CSS first, and then we'll continue on with HTML and combine in the CSS at the same time. Okay. So I have a series of CSS problems that we're going to look at. So this first one, I've got some basic CSS in here. Now again, what CSS stands for is cascading style sheets. And it removes the style from the body so that the style is separate from content. And that was its goal. HTML was developed by scientists for scientists. They wanted to convey information, and that's why they developed it. And they could care less what it looked like. They wanted to convey information. Okay?
So then people decided they cared what it looked at, and they've put in a lot of the kind of fixes that we've looked at today with paragraph, the index, not paragraph as much, the bold, the index, all of those kinds of things. Well, then people started wanting more style, and it got carried away such that you had trouble telling where the style ended and where the content began. And so people came up with the idea of having styles separated. And that's what this does, is it separates the style. So, if I look at a view page source of this, this is giving me some very basic style. Now, there are three ways that you can do the style. One, you can have a separate style sheet. And this example does not have that. But you can have a separate style sheet. And what that does is that if you have a separate style sheet and you have a style that you want your site to have, same background color for every page, same font color for every page, you want a specific style. Well, if you put that on a separate style sheet, you can link all of your pages to that style sheet and get that kind of universal on everything without having to recode it. Okay? And as I said, I don't have an example of that in this page. Then number two is in the head. I set up the style in the head, and that's that one right there, where I say inside the head, style type equals text slash CSS, and then I put in the style and then I close the style. Okay? If you are going to do it on the page, that is the way that is recommended. The third way is to embed it in the body. And that's an example of embedding in the body, where on that H1, I says style equals text align center. The problem is that that really doesn't answer the problem that we had with putting style inside the body, because we're just putting it in, but in a different way. So it is very much recommended that you not do a lot of that. That you try to put everything into the head, okay? If you put it into the head, there are ways called classes where you can set it up to have it apply to this H2 but not that H2, and apply to this paragraph but not that paragraph. We're not looking at that in this example, and I don't think in this set of examples we get to it. I think that's going to be our next look at CSS. But it is much preferred that you put the style up here in the header and follow the goal, which was to get the style out of the body. Or put it on a separate style sheet, okay? But either way, it gets the style out of the body. Embedding it in the body is kind of cheating. Okay, so on this one, I started out and I said style type equals text CSS. Okay, so that tells it that it's using CSS. It was designed that way mainly because I think people thought there was going to be competition to CSS, and there really isn't. So it really doesn't convey that much information, but it's good documentation. And you can just write the word style, but people tend to lots of times put the whole thing in there. So then once you've got the style in, you come down and you tell it what tag you want to have affected. And in this case, I said I wanted the body tag to be affected. So I put body there. And that means that I'm now telling it the background color and telling it the font color. The word color by itself is talking about font color, and background color is up above. And the way you write that is you pick the CSS word, in this case, background color. You put a colon, and then you tell it what color you want. And that's the code for color, and we'll talk about color in a minute.
And then you put a semicolon at the end and you go down and you say, okay, I want the font color, so just color there, to be this. And you put in the font color. Okay. So if you want other things to affect the body, you can put them up there. I can also come up here and say I want H2, and I can put H2 as well. The things I want for body are enclosed in curly braces. The things I want for H2 would be enclosed in curly braces. So I can have many elements of the style that apply to that tag, and I enclose them all in curly braces. Okay. So then I went down, and I said, okay, now, that first thing, I want a header, and I want this code will be centered. So I am putting in there, text align center, and the way I write it is I write the word style to tell me this is style, equals, and then I take the CSS word for aligning things and say text align, colon, and the word center. I can have a semicolon at the end of this or not. Okay. In fact, up here, the last one does not need a semicolon. I strongly recommend that you always use the semicolon. Because if you don't, and you go back and you add something to that style, suddenly you're going to have a missing semicolon. So you might as well just get in the habit of putting the semicolon in. But in fact, the last item doesn't have to have a semicolon after it. Okay? And this text align center is the last item, so it doesn't need it. Down here, notice I have two things. I said font style and color red, and I have the semicolon after it. But up there, I didn't put the semicolon, mainly so I remember to tell you both of them are okay. Then this H2, I didn't want to send it, but the next H2 I did. And that's the problem, is if I put an H2 up here, and then put in that I want text align center, then all of the H2s will be aligned to the center. Okay, now we can get around that with something called class and also something called ID, but class would be the way we'd get around that. And we will look at that later on. But for now, you don't know enough to know how to make it not apply to all H2s. Okay, so I had text align center, and then I have one that is text aligned over to the left. You can also use right, but text align. Okay, and text align right gets me over there. So text align left, you don't have to use because that's the default. To align to the left is the default. So notice when I didn't put anything about text align in, it got aligned over to the right, left. Someday I'll learn the difference between left and right. Okay, I can also set my font size. So I have font size set to 22 points. I have font size set to 14, and I have font size set to 18. And I said, okay, even though you chose a color up here as the default color, I want to change the color for this particular thing, this particular division, to red. And I want to change the color of this particular division to that kind of green, lime green. So I can put the style down there embedded, and it impacts, even though I gave a default color, putting it closer to what you want overwrites the default color. And so those two turn red and green. Okay.
We'll go look at color in a minute, but I want to look at, I think, the next one. Questions so far?
Mentioned about CSS not having any competition.
Right.
So I put it through the validation and I removed that attribute and there's no errors.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you can now just have the word style.
Right, yeah.
Right. A lot of people keep those kind of things because the same thing will happen with JavaScript. We'll write the word script and then tell them it's JavaScript. There's a little more reason to do it because there's other things floating around, but yes, you can just have the word style. As I said, it's a moving target.
Yeah.
A few years back, I would have yelled at you about that.
Really?
So, it is a moving target. Okay, on this one, I moved the H1 up to the top, just to show you. So this is the same page, but I moved the H1 up to the top. I also took out the word color there, and you can get away with that. The preference is background color, but you can just put background. Okay. So I've got background color, and then I moved H1 up there, and so I can take the style out of the H1 because I put it up here and said H1, curly brace that contains it, text align, colon, center. And it will be aligned in the center of that H1. Now the problem is if I do that with the H2s, they're all going to be aligned in whatever I choose. I've got a center left and right. If I put them up there, I've got to make a decision about which one I really want. And so it wouldn't work for the H2s. Now, as I said, we're going to get into classes. And when I get into classes, then we can make that happen. Because we tell it a particular class is supposed to look like this, as opposed to a particular tag. We tell it a particular class. So there's the H1 up here, and it's still centered. Okay, that gets into more. We'll get into that in a minute. What I want to do now is go to W3 Schools. And I want to learn colors. So when you come in here to W3 Schools, it came into HTML. Okay? So this is giving you a lot of resources for HTML. Just as an aside, here's a page that they set up, which has a title and have two paragraphs. And if you click on the try it yourself, it comes up and shows you the code and shows you the result. And I can come over here and put in another paragraph and say another paragraph and close the P and say run, and it now says another paragraph. So I can go in with the try this and play with the code that they set up and see what comes out the other end. So it's a nice resource and one I think you'll find helpful. Okay. Okay, so if I go to learn colors. Okay, first of all, I've got red, yellow, etc. And with CSS, colors can be expressed in different ways. You can specify them by color names, by the red, green, blue values, as hexadecimal, and then we're getting into 3 and 4, which I'm not doing right now. But red, green, blue means that I have 3 sections, and I can go up to 255, which is the weight of something. So if you say 00255, that's going to be entirely blue.
Okay. If I say 255.00, it's going to be entirely red. Okay.
So those tell you what red, green, blue, and the RGB stands for red, green, and blue. And if one of them is 255 and the others are zeros, okay, but you can have shades as well by putting the numbers in here. Okay, so 000 gets you black, all 128s get you gray, and all 255s get you white, because that's the way they've set it up. If you were to change these to some other color, you're going to get a different shade of gray.
Okay, so you could go in on this, try it yourself, and pick a different set of numbers, which they did. They put in 64s and 128s and 192s, and you can see the numbers going down. Okay. So they changed the numbers using the red, green, blue. And one time they did it on background color, and one time they did it on regular color. Okay.
So you can put different numbers in there to get you the different colors that you're trying to get. Or you can just throw in 3 random numbers that don't go higher than 255 and see what color you get. You know, you can just throw in any random numbers and see what you get. So if I come in here and I pick this and 128, 100, 200, and I say run this, I got kind of a purple down there. Okay. So that was kind of a purple. So the combination of 128, 100, and 200 gave me purple. And I can go in and play with any numbers that I want and see what, if I like the color I get. Now there are certain colors that are supported by all the browsers. Others, if you just pick random numbers like this, different browsers may give it a slightly different tinge than the others. Okay, in other words, every combination is not supported by all the browsers. And then, for those of you who remember the hexadecimal that you learned, you can write those, the first ones, the up to 255 was written in decimal. Instead, you can write it in hexadecimal. And if you put in hexadecimal, you put a number sign in front of it. And FF is the highest number. And if you remember your hex, FF equals 255. Okay? So, FF equals 255. And if I put an FF in the red spot, the green spot, or the blue spot, I get the different colors. So you can put in the codes in hexadecimal, or you can put in the codes in decimal. Yeah?
Any benefit of using one over the other?
I don't think so. I like hex better, but I am not sure I've got a reason for that, huh?
I've always used hex.
Right.
Just seemed a little bit easier to...
Yeah. I suspect the one where you actually write the word is the most difficult for almost a nanosecond here and there kind of thing. And then we get to color names. And somebody, let's say if we get color names supported by all browsers. So there's 140 colors that are supported by all browsers. And somebody clearly had a lot of time on their hands. Because we now have Alice Blue, Antique White, Blanche Diamond, Blue Violet, Burly Wood, Cadet Blue, whatever. Okay? Somebody got paid to come up with those names, folks. Anyway, those are a whole bunch of different colors, and you can use those words, okay, to express the what color you want. So that's where your colors are. And they go on and on. Dark olive green, dark magenta, dark orange, dark. A lot of darks, a lot of deeps. Okay. So that's what they go up through. Okay, I was looking for the little... So, again, you can go and find all of the pink colors. I want to do a shade of pink. There's all the pink colors. All the purple colors. And go in and do that. And I was looking for the little circle. Has anybody seen the circle? Mixer, maybe that's what it is. Yes, that's the circle that you frequently see, where you can click one of the things in the circle, and it will tell you what the code is for that. So this one, they have put red, and that's the code. This one, they put blue, that's the code. You can then move around and click another color on this, and it will tell you what it's coming up with. So that's called, I guess, the color picker. And so if I come in here and pick that, that's going to tell me all the greens. Okay, if I pick yellow, giving me the yellows that I can use and giving me the code. So if I, right now it's 4Fs, 2 zeros, okay, and I keep going and it keeps changing. Okay. So I can go around and pick the color that I want. Okay. So, you can play around with color a lot. Okay, so I'm going back and picking up the CSS. My goal is to make it through those CSSs and then we'll call it quits. So this is another one, and this one I have put everything in the head. So I've said the body, and you can see I did it in hexadecimal, and so that's the body that I have. I've got a BB in the blue, which means it's not quite as pure of blue as if I'd had the FF there. But it's got nothing in the red and the green, so it's definitely a blue. The background color is BB. I mean, it's all Fs and then a C2. And that made that kind of off yellow. H1s are all aligned to the center with a color of red. H2s are aligned to the right. Paragraphs have a font size and a color, and divisions have a font size and a color. So I can then go down and this division will be applied to all of the divisions. Okay. So I went back and forth between a paragraph and a division down here.
And this is one of those cases where I didn't catch the BR with a space slash on it. It's XHTML. And you'll see that in a variety of places. It doesn't have a problem with it. Okay, it's okay. It doesn't get upset that I forgot those, but I went through and, you know, changed some things here, but I just forgot about the BRs apparently. And so you're seeing the XHTML BR. Now this is pre-CSS, okay? So pre-CSS, I would write down here, size, I'd write up in the body, BG color for background color, text. Then I'd write align equals center, align equals left, align equals right. This one has a really old thing, which is an H2 followed by the word center. The word center has actually been deprecated, which means you're not supposed to use it anymore. Although, if you put it in, it still makes it centered. And that's because they don't want a lot of screaming emails coming at them. You changed the look of my page. Okay, and then down on font size, I've said font size equals 3, so I've said for down here, I want the font size to be 3, 4, or 5, and I want it to be these different colors. Okay, and font was actually a tag that I could put in. So that's the way it was done before. So now if you were to be given this page and told to upgrade it, you would go in and put in a CSS, and you would say background color equals, and then you would say color is this, and then for the things you want aligned, you would put in the H1 or whatever it is, H2, and say text align colon left, text align colon right, and you would change that CS to make it CSS as opposed to the colors all the way they did it here. And you can see that the colors, the sizes, the 5 is bigger than the 3 and the 4, and it's much bigger than the 3. These colors are all kind of relative. But the 5 is bigger, the 3 is much smaller, and the font 4 looks like it's pretty normal. Okay. So that's how they did it prior to CSS. Okay, different color concepts. All I'm doing here is showing you the different ways that they can do this. Using words, I put background color is gray. And then I put H1 color red, so I use the word red. For H2, I use hexadecimal, and I wrote F0000. For H3, I wrote the color, and I did it in decimal. And in H4, we look at it this way, which we didn't look at, where I'm saying 100%, which is equivalent to 255, 0%, 0%. Okay, so if I wanted each of them to be 20%, I could have each of them be 20%, or something like that.
That one I don't see as often, but I put that in here just to show you the different ways you could express the color. And the sun has come out and I can barely see this board. Okay, the next one is a horizontal line. So I just put in a horizontal line. And I've got it to have okay. So here I have said the horizontal line is written as an HR. And notice there's no close of the HR. So it's just like the BR. There's no close of the HR. The HR is just write the line. A horizontal line. So I said I wanted the height of the line to be 8 points. I wanted the color to be black. And I wanted the width to be 25%, and I wanted it to be aligned in the center. So I've got it 25% of the page, but I've also got it centered, so it's going to be in the middle. Okay. So that gets me a horizontal line. And then I look at the next one, and I did it in green. Okay. So this is now in green, and I said height is 8, background color is green. If I wrote anything on it, it would be blue, and therefore I put a port. They put a border of blue around it that you may or may not be able to see. The width is 50% of the page. It's a line to the right, and the margin to the right is 0. So I've given it, in this case, a lot of information about how I want this header to look. I mean, this horizontal line to look. And on the last one, this last one, I put all of the styles down and fitted, and I put them in line. So on this one, I said border 5 pixels. The kind of border I wanted is an outset border, and I wanted it to be green, and the background color is beige. On the one below, I got more specific. And I said, okay, this says border 5px outset green. That all affects the border. Down here, I broke it down and said the border width should be 5%. The border style should be outset. The border color should be green. So in one case, I gave it all of the information with specifics. And in the other case, I said just border and told it the 3 things. You can't do this with everything. But for something like border, we're going to go look at border now. Border has 5 pixels, which is the same as the border width. Outset, which is the same as the border style. Green, which is the same as the border color. Okay. So I can tell it this information in either of these ways. So if I go over to look up HTML border, or actually it should be probably CSS, but there I am. Here's the border property. I'm not sure which one it is that I want. Okay, so this one is border, and the border property allow you to specify the style, width, and color all at once. Okay, so the border style can be any of those styles. You can have dotted, dash, solid, double. It can be any one of those. Okay. So I can put in my border style that way. I can put in my border width. And I can put in my border color. And I can even get as down as I can say, I want the top style, the border of the top style to be dotted. The right I want to be solid. The bottom I want to be dotted. And the left I want to be solid. Or I could have made them four different things. Okay? So if you try this, you can see that it's dotted on the top and bottom, and a solid line over on the two sides. Okay? So you can actually set up your borders. It can take a lot of time setting up really exciting borders. Ah, yes. But then, instead of writing those all out, they give you the shorthand where you can say border style, dotted, solid, double, dashed. And it will take this as the top, this is the right, bottom, left. And it will go through and you can give it to it just like that. So the CSS can get absolutely ridiculous about setting up a border. And here's where they tell you. The border property is shorthand property for the following individual borders, width, style, and color. And if you're doing this, you need to have style. It's required. If you don't want to say anything about the border, that's fine. But once you want to say something about the border, they require that you put a style in. And so I can write that out also as border 5 pixels solid red. Or I could write border style is one thing, border width is another thing, border color is another thing. So I can write out the three things, or I can put them all together. If I put them all together, I've now got 5 solid and red. And that's about a paragraph. This is not with a header, with a borderline, not with an HR. This is being done to a paragraph. So I'm putting the border around a paragraph. So I can decide I want this paragraph to stand out. I'm going to put a border around it. You can put borders around pictures. You can put borders around a lot of things. Okay. I'm assuming you're all pretty saturated. Questions? Okay. I'm done. Your assignments always show up on the home page. So if you go to my home page and scroll down, it says assignments to turn in. I want a survey, and your first assignment in HTML is there. After you've done it, I want you to go back and modify it and put some CSS in. So you're basically going to send it to me once without the CSS, once with the CSS. And on the page, I want all of these elements. So
I don't care what the topic of the page is. It totally doesn't have to make sense. I just want you to try all the different elements. Okay? So I don't care whether the page makes any sense or not. So make it without CSS, and then go back and add some CSS to it, and I want both versions. Okay?
Questions? All right, I'm really done.